live from the Gabnet Studios in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Albert's Public House. It's Rob Alfano sitting in for Albert tonight. And this, for all I know, could be my last fill-in for Albert for quite a long time. I've been doing the Friday summers, or the summer Fridays, I should say, all summer long and fill-ins here and there. But I believe when Albert comes back after the break on Tuesday, that'll be the end for me for a while. I'll miss you. We'll visit, though. We'll visit. And you can come see me on weekends for Gabnet Rewind, too, right? That comes back a week after next week with fresh new Gabnet Rewinds. There will be no new Gabnet Rewinds next week. I will be on vacation, but we come back live again. Well, not live, but you know what I mean. Looking back at all the week's events soon after, 1 week from next week. So anyway, we've got some fun tonight, I hope. It is the last Albert's Public House before the holiday break here. And a little different lineup tonight on the Great American Broadcast Network. This program goes on as normal till 10 p.m. And then at 10 p.m. until midnight, Alex Bennett taking the Ramble night off. And in his stead, it'll be Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content coming your way at 10 p.m. until midnight. And then at midnight, we turn on the Labor Day Rewind. And it's a look back at all the programs, the best of the highlights of all the Gabnet programs from, oh, the time period of probably 4th of July-ish until now. And it's chock full of hours of programming, so whenever you tune in, you're bound to hear something you haven't heard. So join us for that all weekend long. It starts at midnight Eastern, and it runs until this program with Albert returns Tuesday night here on Gabnet. So it's Friday night, and we're going to open up Skype in just a few minutes. If you've never contacted this program, I would suggest that it's a good night to do that. Probably the Skype lines will be a little bit slow, and so you got plenty of chance to come on and talk. All you need to do is open up Skype, type in Gabnet Live, and then just log in. And then call us. That will call us and put you right here on the citizen panel. So I'd like to, let's do that right now. What do you say we open up Skype right now? I'm waiting. It's spinning. There it goes. It's spinning, and up we go. We also have, in case you do not like computers, you do not have any ability to get to Skype, you can also, if you have something to contribute, you can use our phone number, which is area code 347-352-0079, and join us that way. And we are joined by David Hayek. How you doing, David?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. You're getting ready to get on an airplane, aren't you?
What is it?
I said you're getting ready to get on an airplane soon, aren't you?
Yeah, tomorrow, on Sunday.
On Sunday? How you feeling?
I'm all right.
Yeah? Are you on any mind-altering things to keep you that way, or is it natural tonight?
No, it's not. I have to definitely take Vicodin because my leg hurts, and I need to take like 6 a day.
So how was all that with your leg hurting and all that, but I saw you up and dancing in the video on Facebook?
Yeah, I was very high, and I had too many Vicodin, so that's why I was dancing.
And hugging. That was a really neat move you had there.
Yeah.
Very good. So, and you'll be gone for a couple of months, huh? You'll be in the Czech Republic for a couple of months.
I'll be all around Europe for 8 months.
What's that?
Yeah, I need to take 8 months.
8 months?
Yes.
Wow, so you're going to be, you won't be back in the States until?
I will be back on May 22nd, 2015.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Will you be?
And it's worth it for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. How does that work? Did you tell your job, sorry, I'm leaving? You have a leave of absence, or how does that work?
No, I had to quit.
Oh,
I had to quit my technician job anyways because I'm not able to do this job anymore.
Ever or just for now?
No, ever.
Why is that?
I cannot stand on my feet like 8-10 hours a day. Because varicose veins will come back. It was my second operation. I had first done in 2006. I had second done a week ago. It will always come in back. I have to have a job which requires that you sit. You can stand up, sit, but I must not stand for more than like 4 hours a day.
Wow.
And lift. And like to be a technician, you have to lift like tires, engines, you name it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's the reason why I had varicose veins.
Oh. So you're retiring from that, and you're when you decide, are you going to be, for the next 8 months, are you going to, you're not going to work at all, correct?
No, for the first 2 months, I will not work. And then I will probably drive a truck in Europe.
Oh, okay. And you're definitely coming back to the States? There's no question about that?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I have to come back. I got house here. I have to apply for citizenship. And I got wife. You know, I will come back with my wife,
right,
you know?
Right.
So.
Wow. A big upheaval in your life when stuff like that happens, huh?
Yes, I mean, my prostate cancer treatment will cost me nothing. In the United States, it would cost me $38,000.
It would cost you out of your pocket. Is that because?
Yes.
Is that because you left your job and don't have medical coverage anymore?
Well, I have with my medical coverage. It would cost me $38,000. 20% deductible.
Wow.
I asked them, they gave it to me in writing. Like it would be 38 grand. All treatment would cost me around $160,000-$180,000 in the United States.
And nothing in Europe.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, so it certainly pays for you.
Yeah, and same with my dental thing. Like for 3 root canals and 3 bridges, it would cost me here $9,000. Overseas, I just take my friend who's a dentist to nice dinner after work.
Oh, come on. That's it?
Yes.
Now, is that just because he's your friend?
No, it's not, because we've got this medical insurance in Europe. It's the same for medical and same for dental problems. There is no difference.
Oh, I just had to hang up on Charlene and whoever was calling because they were calling on an old, I guess, group call. And it just was showing all at once. So I just kind of hung up on you guys. Whoever it was trying to call, make sure you're looking at GabNet Live only, not clicking on an old contact list to connect to us. Because that will just cause us all kinds of grief. I'm here talking to David Hayek, and I don't want to disconnect David. He called in the proper way, and so you and I will continue to talk until other people join us and I can make them join. So
I cannot wait for the quiz game.
No quiz game tonight.
Why not? What happened?
Well, a couple of things happened. Last week happened, and I wasn't happy with the game. And so I'm I'm retooling the game, and I'm not quite ready to go to air with it yet. I'm changing it from the format of the 8 clues, and I've found a treasure trove of really really cool trivia that I could ask individual questions, and there is just. It's an unlimited supply of trivia questions that actually will even tell me that they're easy or difficult or average or whatever. And I can build a game around that. Because last week, were you on last week, David? David, did I lose you?
No, Doug won.
But you were you on? Were, did you were you on the panel? I don't remember. I don't remember if you were on the panel or not. But
yes, I was on the panel. Okay. I was the second.
So it was just to me the game moved very slowly because unless
very difficult questions.
Very well, but see that's the thing. The it's very you know I explained this the other night. I don't know if you heard it or not, but if you're going to be on a game show. Whether you're going to be on Jeopardy or pick a game show where they have these kinds of questions, you get tested. And so they know that the people who are calling in or the people that are showing up have a certain aptitude towards the categories. That's the first thing. Second thing is they assign the three contestants for each program. So you know what you've got. In my case, I don't know who's calling in from week to week. I don't know how many people are calling in from – it could be just you and me here tonight, and we wouldn't have a game anyway. But the problem I have is I think they're too hard, so I make them easy. Then they're too easy, and I make them hard. And it became – I just felt like last week didn't play as well as it could have. There were I had to go past – I gave clues beyond the eight to get people to answer some of them. And I'm thinking that the best way to do this is to try to find different types of trivia questions, more categories, more contemporary questions. I found, like I said, I found, was it Tuesday of this week or Monday of this week, I found a treasure trove of trivia. And it's like unlimited. You can go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm gonna put together categories, and we're gonna just retool the program, the game again before I come back with it. It won't be too long. I was gonna try to have it ready for this week, but this is a short week, and I've been doing this program, getting ready to go away. So it's gonna have to wait till the next time that I can get on the air to do it. So yeah, no game tonight. It's just gonna be Albert's Public House, like it's been all week long. And I don't know, it may be just you and I, David. So do you have anything you'd like to lead with?
No, I like that ACL thing, that bucket thing might be like a big scam.
Which one is this?
ASL, that bucket, ice bucket thing, which annoys me very much, might be like a scam.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, because they are saying that 73% of the money is going to the top people of that organization. They are making big bucks of it.
You are kidding me. I haven't
It was on the Huffington Post on Facebook.
Huh. I haven't seen that. That's one story I didn't see.
Yeah, it was like an hour ago it was there that basically like most of the money the rich people are taking, the CEOs who are already making like $3-5 million a year, so they will get more.
It's despicable.
It's absolutely despicable. And like people like Howard Stern, they were saying that since it started that it's a scam.
You know, when stuff like that happens, all these people donating money in good faith, and you really need to know who it is you're donating money to and how much of that money ever gets to the cause itself and not to feed the machine.
Yeah, you know? So I'm glad I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't either. I do know people who did, and I don't know how much – You know, people, everybody jumps on a bandwagon for something like, oh, I'll dump ice on my head, you know, ice water on my head. And you got to wonder how many people sort of like those, you know, I think I mentioned this once when I called in on Albert's program when he was hosting saying, do they have this money or is this, you know, they were saying how much it raised. Do they have this money or is this money that's promised that, it's all over? Yeah, I don't think I'll send
them. Yeah, they had the money. They still have the money. Problem is that like almost 75% going to these people who run that thing and only 25% is going for that cause.
So you have to think if that's out in the open now, that can't happen anymore. It might have happened if somebody didn't spill the beans. But now that the beans are spilled, I can't imagine that any CEO or any high level person would take that money for fear of. I mean, you know, the jig is up. You know, you had a little scam running. Now you got to go legit with it. That's the only thing I could see. That's good news. If it's, I mean, are you, who brought this out? I know you said it was on Huffington Post, but who did the investigative journalism to find out?
Well, the people from that organization, Huffington Post.
Oh, so
it was... I don't know exactly the names, but before I called, I checked that article on their website.
Oh,
and
that's just heinous is what that is.
I'm pretty sure that Bill Maher is going to talk about it at 10 o'clock tonight.
Ah, I don't get HBO anymore. I used to love his program. It's the one show on HBO.
I like it.
Yeah.
I still like it. I like Bill Maher.
I do too. I just don't get his program anymore. I hear he's not a nice guy. From all accounts, I hear he's a prick.
I believe he's a prick, but I still watch his show. I cannot miss it. I like it.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. It's just, I don't get HBO anymore. I'm only paying $185 a month for cable.
Exactly. $209, so I got HBO.
Well, there you go. So for the that's what I'd have to pay to get HBO, and I just, you know, how much is enough? So
exactly. I'm so pissed with these corporations because there's nothing I can do. I don't want Verizon files, and you know, and it sucks.
So now what do? You disconnect? Are you going to have anybody living in your home while you're done?
Yeah. I'm going to rent my house through the agency, and everything's covered.
Uh-huh. So you own the home?
No, I pay mortgage.
Well, yeah.
That's
home ownership in the United States.
Yeah, but
I tell people all the time, I don't really own it. My bank owns it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least you, you know, the money you're getting or putting into it is supposedly for yourself. But, well, that's good. So now you got to shut off all the utilities and...
Exactly. That's what I did already Comcast, because these people who will rent, they would put it on their name.
Do you get that kind of stuff? Do you get HBO and all that in the Czech Republic?
We've got, of course, but like we have our own programming in the Czech Republic. You know, we got HBO, but they have their own shows. I cannot watch Bill Maher in the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I can watch like HBO shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know.
Right.
Game of Thrones, but I cannot watch Bill Maher. Because who would care in the Czech Republic about political show with Bill Maher? You know what I mean?
I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So
you get all of the you just don't get any of the sports programming or any of the American.
Exactly. Like if there's HBO in the Czech HBO sport program, it's about Czech hockey, Czech soccer. But of course, I don't get that guy Gamble.
Right.
You know?
Right. How about that?
Yeah.
So anything else on your mind before we hit some of the stories that I have here?
Yeah, I mean, you can go ahead. I would like to hear what you got there. I wish somebody called. Patrick, call.
So I went on a job interview today. I had two job interviews today.
Why? I thought you were happy with your job.
You know, the one thing about what I do and where I live is that there is a ton of work, and there's always people calling you and asking you if you're happy and would you like to look at something else. So... I had two interviews today. One of them was a normal job, which I'm very interested in. The only problem is I have to travel. I have to work in Washington, D.C., as opposed to, you know, a 20-30 minute drive will become an hour commute for me as I have to take a train and stuff. But the opportunity is great. I'm really interested in it. And if it happens, I should, you know, get a better idea next week. But the other job, listen to this one. This is a 6-month contract for Verizon, believe it or not. And it's 7 days a week, 12 plus hours a day for 6 months.
Okay.
Now, the job is in Maryland, so I would have to commute for a little over an hour each way to get there. So and there's no days off. The pay is going to be double what I will make in a in the 6 months, I'd make in what I would make at least a little more than what I make in a year on my current job. Is that the TV or you have guests?
No, I'm back. Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
So you would double your money?
Yeah, in 6 months. I could earn a year's salary in 6 months. The problem with it is I think I would burn out. I don't think I have the stamina to 14, 15 hours a day devoted to my job. It's not even like you get Sunday off. It's 7 days a week. You got to be there.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I found this story tonight as I was perusing the websites. The old 9-to-5 work week is becoming as obsolete as the American dream. A new Gallup poll finds that economically stressed Americans are now working an average of 47 hours, with a growing number clocking 60 hours or more. Adults employed full-time in the United States report working an average of 47 hours per week, almost a full workday longer than what a standard 5-day 9-to-5 schedule entails. In fact, half of all full-time workers indicate they typically work more than 40 hours a week, and nearly 4 in 10 say they work at least 50 hours a week, according to Gallup, and that's based on their 2014 work and education survey. Full-time workers, this job that I would be up for that has me going to the city, it's 37.5 hours a week. So I would be part of the less than 8% who work less than 40 hours per week. There are 42% of Americans who they polled are working 40 hours a week. 11% work between 41 and 49. 21% work between 50 and 59. And 18% work 60 hours or a week or more. Gallup said the salaried workers are putting in more hours, on an average 5 hours more per week, 49 versus 44 for hourly workers. So if you're salaried, of course, they take further advantage of you. The good news in that other job is I would be getting paid for every hour I work. But, you know, maybe if I was 25 or 30, I would be more inclined to say, you know what, for the next 6 months, I'm just going to say screw it, and I'm just going to work and do nothing else but work for 6 months. But I can't. I don't think I have it in me anymore to work like that. But
and
I mean,
what was the second one?
What do you mean?
You said you had two jobs.
Well, the other one is, like I said, is a 37.5-hour work week in Washington, D.C., at my salary plus some additional benefits that I don't have right now. I'm extremely interested in that job. I should find out more about it this week. But, you know, I'm more one of these people. I don't remember the last time I worked over 40 hours a week, and that's mostly because I figured out a way around that. And especially in what I do for a living, I don't necessarily need to do things at 2 o'clock in the morning like a lot of other IT people need to do. So I've been pretty lucky in my career. I've not been one of those. You know, there are times when you're in a project and you're working 50 hours a week for 3 weeks or a month, and that's fine. You know, that there's an end to it. But these people that they're polling in this 2014 work and education survey, this is not a special occasion. This is not a project-based thing that has them working. This is their normal life, to work 18% of people working 60 hours or more a week. I mean, really? That's a week and a half of work. Just this is the quality of life here in America.
Yeah, I got a message here from Jeff. He says that Skype is showing GabNet is offline.
Skype is showing that the GabNet Live is offline. How?
Yeah, he says we are locked out. Tell Rob you about it.
All right. Well, so let me disconnect and call back. Okay, I'll disconnect. I'll shut down Skype and reconnect.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back. So
all right.
Come on back. All right, so let's try this. Let's log out of Skype, sign out. Okay, so we've signed out of GabNet Live. Let me close the program. Where's my GabNet or my Skype? There it is. Quit. And now let's launch it fresh here. down to my desktop and launch it fresh. Bingo. And there it is. GabNet Live. Not now. Upgrade. Always bugs me to upgrade every time. So let's put in the password. And let's try it again. I see everybody online. I see all the green dots. Let's see if people can see us now. Maybe I just screwed myself and David won't be coming back. I can't even sing you a song because we don't have the rights to sing songs. It'll just be me. Maybe I'll do more Curly impressions. I did my Curly impression last night on Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle last night. I don't know what else to do because I could read you my news stories and we'll be done without any discussion. We'll be done in about, I'd say 10 minutes. So, am I online or not? How can I tell by looking at this? Because no one has called back yet. Status, let's say, make sure that says online. I just clicked it. I right-clicked on the icon and chose status online to make sure that it is showing online and not invisible or offline. So, and it is showing that. Oh, look at that. So I guess it's working now because Jeff just dialed in. Can you hear me, Jeff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can. You were listed offline.
Yeah, as David told me, he said you messaged him and told me Jim Browning is joining
us. I messaged everyone I could find.
That's weird. I didn't do anything different. But somehow it seems to be okay now. I hope anyway, because David hasn't called back. Jim or Diana's calling in now. So maybe it is resolved.
See, you got people out there, Rob. We just couldn't get in.
Couldn't get in, I guess, huh? You couldn't. Diana, how are you?
Pretty good.
Did I look offline to you? Were you seeing GabNet Live as offline?
No.
Or had you not tried?
Kind of out of sync or something.
Okay. I saw it offline, and then it just popped up a second ago.
Well, yeah, because I disconnected the call. I've been talking to David for the first 15 or so minutes.
And yeah. It had you still talking to him.
Huh. Yeah, Rob, I felt sorry for you. It's just you and David. I did everything I could to get the message through.
David said somebody call. So I said, okay, David told me to call, so I have to call. I'm still eating.
I wonder if David could get back because he said he was going to call right back.
He should. You're showing online, I guess, to all of us. So he should.
Let me give out the phone number in case people would like to try that way. If they can't get through on the computer, you can call area code 347-352-0079. That's our number. If you you will not join us in a video conference here, but you can pick up your telephone and call that number. It will connect you. Hopefully, it'll connect you to Skype here, and you can still participate in the citizen panel.
It's the Gab phone.
The Gab phone. There we go.
Gab phone. As opposed to the bat phone or something.
Yes.
Instead of it being bright red, it's bright blue.
Oh, gee, I feel bad now. David relayed the message, and now he's SOL. This sucks.
Did he
just drop off? Or?
Did he tell you he couldn't connect?
No. But, you know, I heard everything you heard. I was listening on the phone, and, you know, you cut off, so.
Well, here's David right now. Here's David right now.
Oh, good.
Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
So are we
David,
okay?
David, thank you.
Oh,
I am.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's not like I like to hear you, Jeff, but I did it for you anyway.
You know,
David, yes, you do.
It's interesting that you guys you saw it offline, but I was sitting here watching all of the people. You know how you can see them when people sign on to Skype? I was seeing all the people sign on to Skype, but I guess the account itself was not online. Anyway,
hello, Jim.
We have ourselves. We have ourselves a citizen panel now.
Good.
And anybody have? I mean, we were talking about the Jim. Is the work week the same in Canada? Is it getting longer and longer, or is it still the 40-hour work week?
No, I think that's pretty much a a worldwide situation.
No, it's not. It's not the same in Europe.
Oh, well, North American situation. But then again, you know, it's a smaller machine up here. You guys have a big beast of a machine that you got to constantly keep feeding, and we got less people. So
you give more people jobs rather than, you know, abuse the ones who are working, trying to do more with less.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, but like I said, there's certain jobs you got to wait for somebody to die before you get it.
Yeah, well, it's still like that here too. There are those. Those union jobs. My cousin just got one after he was an automobile mechanic for the first 30 some odd years of his life, and his back was just, you know. So he went to work for the railroad in New York, and it's a great union. And he's got one of those jobs now that he, you know, he'll get a nice pension, and it's a sweet deal. I mean, it's not my kind of work. He's a machinist for them. Say again, like, David?
Yeah, I'm saying my sister, who's working 35 hours a week, is making almost the same money in a year like my wife, who works 60 hours a week.
Wow.
Your sister is in the Czech Republic.
No, in London. She works in London Hospital.
Now, is it true that that they lose most of that money to taxes?
I mean, she pays a little bit more because... That's why she's got free healthcare. But overall, it's the same. Less stress for her. Who needs to work 60 hours a week?
Oh, I'm all about it. I mean,
I might need it, but I can't do that.
Weird.
I got a question, Rob.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You said, yeah, the union job isn't your cup of tea or what have you.
Don't get me wrong. The right union job is my cup of tea, not a machinist.
Well, okay, so let's just say we could all be a postman delivering mail, and you've got these great benefits. When you retire, you've got health care for life and a pension, which I don't have at my private company right now, and I love my job. But when I take a job I hated – for all that security after I retire, which for a lot of us is not more than 10, 15 years away, would you do it?
Well, that's why I didn't in my 20s.
Well, I know now. I'm talking about now.
Well, it depends on what that job was. We're joined by I Am Groot. I don't know who that is. Do we know who that is? Jim, do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, well... Mr. Groot, can you please lower your speaker?
Could be Mrs.
Okay.
Got him off.
He's gone.
Actually got a prank call. Cool. you're getting big time now.
At least it wasn't Baba Booey.
Hang on, I've lost the call.
You have? Yeah, you're on. You're with us.
And he dropped off.
I still see this picture, though.
And he's talking. Yeah,
but no, the phone is hung up. He's gone.
Oh, yeah. Now it's gone.
No, Jim, we lost Jim just now. Skype is active. This is the first time I've ever done a show where Skype didn't cooperate. So maybe it's time to upgrade my version of Skype. Here's another interesting story while we're waiting for someone. Jim is coming back. Are you back with us, Jim? Hello.
I got bumped off.
Yeah, that was weird. Now you're slapping back real bad.
Oh, well, okay. Hopefully.
So are you? So am I.
Wow, that's weird.
That's one.
How's that?
Oh, that's not.
Is there another echo?
sounds like one of Jim's little.
No, not me.
You don't hear it, Jim?
You're right.
I don't hear any echo.
Oh, you're the only one. Oh, now it stopped.
Oh, okay.
No, it didn't.
Hello? Well, it stopped here?
Yeah, it stopped.
Hello?
Let's hope it stopped. Yeah. So anyway, as I was saying, another scary story happening in California right now. Hundreds of people in a California town have no water after wells ran dry during the state's drought. a small town east of East Porterville in Tulare County. Do you know where that is, Jeff?
Tulare. It's by Fresno. It's a big, big agriculture area.
Yeah, 7,300 residents and at least 300 homes have been without water for weeks. It's they've interviewed people. We can't shower. We are wearing dirty clothes. My kids had to wear dirty clothes to school this morning, said Elizabeth Baker. We've had to go across the street to get last night to get water for my kids from the fire department. The county has set up a 5,000-gallon water tank for residents to help with flushing toilets and irrigation. But now drinking water is the problem, and they've had to distribute more than 15,000 gallons of drinking water last week. There are fears that the problem could even be worse, as people believe that some people aren't reporting the wells have gone dry for fear that their landlords will evict them or their children will be taken away. In fact, the county didn't know how dire the problem was until they were tipped off by a nonprofit group. So,
well, I hate to pull out my old line of follow the money, but they've been fighting down there for water rights, all the farmers. Fighting each other, the government, the counties, because, you know, everybody needs water, and some people say we want it more, and it's all fed by a Delta, and, you know, obviously the farmers don't get water, they don't eat, and so for years there have been water rights issues and problems, and I wonder if this isn't it just coming to the surface, you know, in this way.
Well, you know what's weird? I lived in the valley for a couple of years when I was in the Navy. I was stationed at NAS Lemoore.
Lemoore, yes.
Lemoore, yeah. Down by Visalia and all that. And it's a desert. The whole place is a big desert, you know, and they're just, it's an artificially created agricultural area, you know. It's like only a matter of time where they're not going to get that water shipped in. But yeah, it's like you never know you're in California. It's like a big flat desert.
That's really weird,
Diana,
because
Diana, do you remember the water wars though?
I say it was there a while ago. It was a while ago now. So let me see. This was like the late '80s, 88 to 90.
I mean, you drive down like 99, you see all these signs, you know, vote so and so for water rights and things like that.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So I've been to Sacramento, I've been to San Jose, San Francisco. This is Northern California we're talking about, Tulare, whatever you said it was.
Tulare County.
That's California.
So really? How far from, because that's very lush and green, you got Napa, you've got all these beautiful, how far away is that?
You're 100 miles southeast of that.
Yeah.
Tulare.
And so that is desert.
Yeah.
No, it's not desert, no.
If they didn't have the water coming in, it would be, you know.
Well, but there's fields and fields of crops, and they've been getting the water, so they grow the crops. I mean, Del Monte's down there, you know, all the raisins are huge, almonds. Tons of agriculture. But exactly. Water's a big deal, and they fight over it.
And water's been a big deal for many years, and now with the drought the way it is, it's just become worse. So you think the farmers are getting the water they need for their business, and it's just the residents don't get the water?
Well, I would just venture a guess that a certain group of farmers or area of farmers, you know, they're all fighting each other. And who's going to lose? The independent citizen.
I think the biggest problem down there is this incredibly huge influx of golf courses, and they're just sucking up water like crazy, and people are, it's like putting so many straws into the same glass, and if you're the big guy and you're watering your big estate, or you're watering your golf course and everything, the other people with the straws in the glass, the farmers or the basic citizens, are getting shut out of water. And frankly, I mean, we've got it, you know, we've got tons of water up here, and a lot of it goes through the dam, and it's used to produce electricity for further down into the States. But I just think the influx of so many golf courses is just ridiculous when water is in such short demand in some places now.
Well, go ahead, Jeff.
You're right, Jim. However, there's been a huge decline in golf courses. Like 3 or 4 a day go out of business. Good point, and that still may be true in California, but across the country, actually, they attribute it to the downfall of Tiger Woods, because when Tiger Woods was hot, everybody was building golf courses, and now they're not. But California golf courses may still be going strong, and yeah, they would have the biggest straw in the glass.
So,
yeah.
But do they use fresh water for this, or did they use that, what they call it, gray water? Or
non-potable.
Yeah, I mean, you could use different kind of water to water the greens and not use fresh drinking water, right?
Yeah, you could. I don't really know how it works. I just know there's water wars, and I'll bet you the citizens lost. That's my guess.
I wonder what the answer is in something like that. Do you wind up? I mean, you're just gonna have to shut these communities down, and
no, you can't. Because you need the agricultural workers, most of them immigrant workers, and they'll just live in shittier conditions.
Yeah. I mean, look at someone like Oprah, okay? There's this article in the newspaper the other day about her and her neighbors in Montecito, and they're trucking in water constantly all day. To maintain the lawns, and things like, I mean,
that just seems so
costing, you know, and you know, just for her, for example, and this is just one person with money. You're looking at you know, she's paying $40,000 a month just to truck in water.
Damn.
Well, there you go, Jim. What if that 40,000 gallons that she's paying a pretty penny for was supposed to be going to these people in, what was it, Porterville or something? But instead, Oprah's got the box, so she's taking water. Exactly. I mean,
I'm really surprised in the world nowadays that, and maybe we will see it come up even more. Put all your political stuff aside. Put all your nasty fatwas and everything aside. There's going to be some large conflict about water.
Yeah.
Someday, somehow.
And not just water, though. I mean, just when you think about the riches that people have, like Oprah.
Sure.
How do you, you know, David and I were talking before regarding that ALS water challenge, that he found an article that says that that's been a big scam, that most of that money is going. Was it 75% of that money is going to?
Almost. 73 article says.
73% of that money, all that money raised, instead of it going to the cause, is going to executives. And so now that you're feeding this machine, so now that they're feeding, now that that's out in the open, How do you accept that money, or how do you, you know what I mean? Now that it's out there, you would think that people would come down against Oprah, or, and people like her, be very unhappy with the fact that these people are hoarding all this water so they can have nice green grounds while people are going to school with dirty clothes. And
No, Rob, if I've got a nice green lawn, then I'm like Oprah, and I've got as much money as Oprah, so screw you and let me water my lawn, even though I may not be able to afford it. It looks like I can.
A lot of people say, oh, well, they've earned the money, they have their right to do with what they want, and blah, blah, blah. Listen, I, and maybe whatever charitable deed she does and things like that, but there was a documentary years ago, and I'll just say this before, I just realized I have to do a show at 7 o'clock. So I'm going to get off here in a second.
7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. I saw this documentary, and Oprah had gone to this furniture auction, and she wanted to buy this shaker built pine dresser that had 3 drawers in it, and just a real plain shaker dresser. Something I could build out of pine and distress and oil up and make look quite fine and put in my own damn house. But, oh, she just loved this dresser and she couldn't leave without it. And so she paid $275,000 for this shaker-built pine dresser. And I just thought, you know, that's like somebody needing a house is just going to be, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could put a family in a house quite happily somewhere, and it's just money that went into a crappy pine three drawer dresser. And so I just thought,
if you want to live in, if you want to live in or around Dallas, Texas, for about $150,000 or $160,000, you can put a family in a 5,000 square foot home. So she paid that much more and got a dresser.
Yeah.
And again, I agree. You know, this is her money. She earned it. She didn't steal it.
No.
But I think what's going to happen is at some point there's going to be a backlash of that kind of opulence for people who don't feel the need to. Or and again, I don't know what she does give away. But when you hear something like that, you say, wow, I mean, that's just.
Yeah.
People get thirsty. They're going to get mad.
I think this country in general, and probably more than just this country, it's starting in Europe as well, where people are, you know, where countries are not doing as well. They're teetering on Greece. They're teetering on bankruptcy. And, you know, eventually people are just going to say, I've had enough. And it's going to make it enough that it's uncomfortable enough for them to get off their asses and out of their, you know, out of their home theaters and stuff like that and send them into the streets. Mm. You know, and that's the only time anyway anything's ever going to change. You know, that's the only way.
On that happy note, I have to go.
Thanks for calling in, Jim.
Okay. I'll see you on the road, Jim. I won't be able to call, but I'll be listening.
Okay. It's like I got a 4-hour show coming up at 7 o'clock.
You're not staying on till.
Oh, I don't know. It depends. We'll see.
I hope so.
I'll
be listening.
One night on Play TV, the schedule cleared up, and I did 6 hours.
Wow.
But I mean, we could play music back then too. But we'll just play it by ear.
I wish we could play music. Yeah, I would love to play some music. Oh,
make sure you have enough water.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, bye. Jim. Thanks. Yeah. Jim will be on in about 13 minutes from right now for Alex, who has got the rest of the weekend off. So no ramble tonight. Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content begins at 10 p.m. Eastern and continues until he gets tired. That's the beauty of Gabnet, right? You just and they keep paying you. Stay on as long as you want, and you keep getting your, you know. It's like what we were talking about before, David. You could work 17 hours a week, and you just keep – they keep ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. They keep paying you. So here's another interesting story. Has anybody heard that the Mark David Chapman who killed John Lennon was up again for parole, and he was denied once again? He's been denied now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 8 times now.
I thought I heard that a couple of weeks ago. Unless that was somebody else that was denied.
Well, I just found this story fresh, so that's where I grabbed it from. Not sure. Maybe it is a couple of weeks old. Chapman said that he, you know, a few more details about, you know, what goes into a guy who decides to kill like John Lennon, you know. He said that he sold a Norman Rockwell painting to finance the assassination plot, which he described as very well thought out. It was it involved incredible planning, absolutely incredible stalking. He fired 5 rounds into Lennon outside of the New York Dakota apartments on the evening of December 8th. But in the 34 years since that was back in 1980, but in the 34 years since, Chapman has found God. He testified to 3 New York parole officers back on August 20th, so it's a few days old. I found my peace in Jesus, Chapman said. I know him. He loves me. He has forgiven me. He has helped in my life like you wouldn't believe. He also told the parole board that he was an idiot for killing Lennon and chose the wrong way to glory. But the bright lights to fame of infamy, notoriety was irresistible. This is what was going on in his mind.
What did he say was the reason he felt he had to do that?
Again, it was this, his, I was confused, I told them. I needed a lot of attention at the time, and it took the life out of, where's that one line where he says, I'm skipping around the story here. At the time, Chapman, who was 25 at the time, said his life had sunk into a depressed state. He was drinking. I just saw that there was this was my way out, you know, a lazy way out of the doldrums. It was a horrible decision, but I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, he was kind of whacked because he was a big Beatles fan.
Huge.
Prior to that.
Yes.
Yeah, I wondered if it was like a vengeance sort of thing or something.
I don't think it was vengeance.
He didn't like that Lennon said that Beatles.
The Beatles were bigger than God, Jesus. Is that what you were going to say?
Oh, Lennon said that. Yeah, bigger than God.
Yeah, but that was 1965? This was 1980. He killed him. But I mean, he carries
a grudge.
He was a big fan. I mean, there's no question that he was a huge fan.
He's from Hawaii, I think, right?
Chapman?
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. But he actually bought the bullets that killed John were given to him by an Atlanta police officer who was a friend of his. So,
sweet.
There's another case of us having, poor gun laws and
like a co-conspirator then, or named in the case at all, I wonder?
No, I mean, this is a friend. You give a guy bullets, it's not illegal to give a guy bullets.
I do it every day. Hey, speaking of possible paroled assassins, didn't the Jodie Foster lover that shot Reagan, didn't he get paroled?
I don't think so.
What's his name? God, I can't remember.
Yeah, you could. Well, David's back. He's the four person. He could maybe he could Google.
Who
it.
Shot Reagan, David? And is he paroled?
It's another three named person.
Well, they always have to give the middle name in case, because too many people might have the same two names.
Well, I guess maybe so that's the reason.
Is that David Hinckley? Isn't it Hinckley?
Yes.
John Hinckley, yeah.
Is John Hinckley on parole? Is out on parole, David?
I don't think he is. He's been paroled? The guy shot a president. Wow.
Yeah, because he was found mentally ill, and he lives in a nice sanatorium.
Oh, so he's not free.
Why? Oh,
he lives in a sanatorium.
Yeah, but he lives like very nicely. You know?
Well, yeah, I'm sure he does.
I wonder if he can like email Jodie Foster now and stuff.
Isn't she the one?
Serious question.
Isn't she the one who came out gay?
Yeah, she's gay. Yes.
So he did it for nothing. He tried to impress her because he thought she was, and he did it for nothing.
What a pisser!
Oh God.
Seems like I have a lot of West Coast news. A cannabis-infused fizzy drink is now on sale in the state of Washington as part of an ever-expanding U.S. market for legal pot products. Less than 2 months after recreational cannabis became legal in the West Coast state, Washingtonians can now get their highs out of a soda bottle. The drinks called... we just lost Jeff, I think. Yeah, we lost Jeff. The drink's called Legal.
Thanks God we lost him.
Oh, somebody else.
The drink's called Legal, come in cherry, lemon, pomegranate flavors, but are all infused with about 10 milligrams of liquid cannabis. The drink costs around $10. And they are being marketed as a gentler alternative to smoking that could attract those who are still wary about cannabis. It's much more approachable. I guess it also, people who are used to drinking to get their, high as opposed to smoking might be interested in trying something like this. Instead of saying, hey, mom and dad want a joint, you can just hand them a nice drink and they could drink it and enjoy themselves. But anyway, it's being sold in only in Washington right now. When I was in California back in 06 and they were the only state that had legal for the purposes of medicinal purposes. One of my cousins had a license for this. And one day he comes back from the pot store, and it was really cool because he came back with like a grocery bag and a regular, like you'd get from the cash register. And he had brought back a drink called Toca-Cola. And it was infused with cannabis, I think hash, in fact, but it was called Toca-Cola. And he comes back with all this crazy stuff, and I would love to. I wish they would do that here in Virginia.
Interesting, what happens with the interstate commerce with this thing? Going to have like, dogs sniffing for this stuff? Because not every state is going to allow that.
One of the biggest problems that Denver, Colorado is having is that there's so much being sent out of state. So it's not legal. It's a federal offense to transport drugs, pot, whatever, interstate. So, but there's like, they said it was like 40,000 pounds, or I don't remember the numbers. It was a 40 and a 60. I don't know if it was 1,000 pounds or 100 pounds or what, but the number has jumped crazy since they legalized it. So it just goes to show you that they really need to do it in all the states, mm-hmm. and just let this, because it's going to cause a whole other business. You know, it's not doing anybody any good, these businesses. Just legalize it and tax it and do what you need to.
Yeah. I got to go, Rob. Thanks. And last word, of course, is drink.
Drink. All right, Diana. Thanks. Have a good holiday weekend. It's just back down to you and me, David, to finish out the night here on Albert's Public House.
Yes, I really like to talk to you about that working thing, because you said last week that I should try that computer security, cyber
yes,
security.
Yes, cyber security, yeah. Any yeah. kind of security, do a search on CISSP. That's a certification. It takes
CISSP.
Yeah, that takes about. Well, you could. There's a test for that, but you can't even if you take and pass the test, you have to work in security for 5 years before they'll call you a CISSP. But that's okay, because if you understand it and you're good at it, there's plenty of work and it pays pretty well. You know, it's just one. I don't know in Europe. I don't know in Canada, but I know here in the States, they're always looking for security people. It's huge, mm-hmm. you know, more than computers these days, because computers are what's happening to the IT industry. You know, the infrastructure side, the things that I do, is the same thing that happened to television. When I first got into TV, it started, and that is to commoditize it. It used to be such an exacting science where you needed to really be an engineer who understood the television components and use a waveform monitor and a vector scope to set up the audio, the video, and the color and all that. And as the technology matures, you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. And you don't need as many people anymore, because computers infused into it. And that's what's starting to happen now in IT. If you just get like an infrastructure IT job, the only jobs that they're always going to need are the low end people. You're always going to need hands on, somebody who builds desktops, fixes desktops. You know, you don't make a lot of money doing that, you know, but you'll have a job. But any of the good paying jobs in IT, there you need to be specialized, not just a Windows engineer. Or I mean, they're still out there, don't get me wrong. You have to have the experience. Starting out today, you're not going to make very much money. One of my problems is the reason why, you know, I've been lucky. I got a couple of like I said yesterday, my phone rang a couple of times, and I had two interviews today, but it used to be a lot more. The problem is my salary grew to a point now where a lot of companies don't want to, you know, everybody's trying to cut back. So my salary, when they see my salary, they go, well, we don't want to pay that much. So you got to find the company now. So now it makes it more difficult to find. But if I were to drop 20 grand, I can find a job pretty easily. But who wants to drop 20 grand?
Of course. And how old are you again?
I'm 57.
Oh, so you got like 8 more years to retirement.
I don't know I can do IT for 8 more years, quite honestly. I really don't know I can hang. It's not easy, because, again, it's a constant retooling. Every 18 months, there's a new version of whatever it is that you were working on out there, and you've got to learn it, and you've got to get certified in it. Like the job I got the call for today, yesterday, and I interviewed today, they wanted me because I have a certification. That they, you know, we don't have the certification. We need that. They'll give you a signing bonus. They'll give you a $20,000 signing bonus because you have a certification. But it gets harder and harder to get those certifications because the brain.
Yeah, because you have to learn in your age every 18 months and you compete with these young kids from school.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, but they don't want the young kids. See, they want the experienced veteran the young kids come in and they start and they do. We're running over here a little bit. Just to wrap this up, the young kids are, you know, they want for the lower paying jobs. But when it comes to the type of jobs that I'm talking about, they want people with experience. But they want people maybe 35 with that experience, 7, 8, 10 years, you know. I'm 57. Mm-hmm. So it gets to a point where after a while. Anyway, let's let Jim get in here and do his thing. I'd like to thank you, David. We won't speak until you're gone. So I wish you all the best with your
To call early in the morning in Europe.
I wish you the best with what you have coming up with the surgery you still have coming up, and with your with your recovery for the varicose veins, and hopefully we will hear from you whenever you can. I know it's in the middle of the night, but we certainly will miss not having you around as often as we do, for sure.
Thank you.
All right, David. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks. You too. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Revelstoke Jim and Revelstoke Jim's Canadian content. Have a great weekend. Don't forget tonight, whenever Jim is finished at midnight or later, it'll be a weekend of Gabnet Rewind right here. It's all the best from about the 4th of July on, and there's no repeats. So enjoy it, and I'll see you when I see you. Bye.